Acts chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. Acts 4, verses 13 and 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Thank God for his word this morning. May it sanctify deep into our hearts. I'm going to speak on the subject this morning. The evidence speaks for itself. The evidence speaks for itself. You may be seated. The evidence speaks for itself. Amen. Father, we thank you again for this awesome opportunity that we have to worship. We ask that you would speak to us now and speak through these lips of clay and help your people that we might understand your truth. And Lord, even understanding it, we might apply it to our lives. Thank you so much, God, for loving us even when we were unlovable. And Father God, we realize that it's a growth process. And so we look to you to ask that you would help us to grow in the knowledge of your word and in righteousness, that all that we do would bring glory and honor to your name. We love you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done, and we expect you to move in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We've been talking about breathing and spiritual breathing, and most of us have been focusing on getting God in. But what we need to also think about is getting God out. How do we show the evidence of God in our lives? And how do we express that? I'm deeply concerned that the church is drifting and becoming more like the world. And we have to be very, very careful. Even in my own life, you know, we're in the world and we're around people that are of the world. And so we have to breathe in God's goodness. But then we have to show it by the way that we live. The Latin term for it, and I'm going to try to get this right, res ipsa laquitur. Res ipsa laquitur, as I guess that's the way you pronounce it. But it's a term that means evidence. Evidence, and the evidence speaks for itself. What an attorney does, if they've been brought to law about a certain case, they'll try to get evidence. They'll interview people. They will take depositions. They will get information about a person or a subject, and they will present the case. Here's the point. If someone were to say, you're not a Christian, how would you prove that you are a believer in Jesus Christ? Now, you need to think about that because from two standpoints. One, the world is looking at us. But then secondly, God is also observing our action. So how does the evidence that we present, how does the life that we live demonstrate that we believe in God? For one, let's take church attendance out of it. Now what you gonna do? How will you show the world that you trust and believe in Jesus Christ? Let me help you out. The Bible is talking about here in the book of Acts, people who acted on God's word, who believed so intensely in what God was doing that you could tell that God was in their life. Now, we've been called to follow that same God. We've been called to demonstrate that same faith. Actually, God is working not only for us to bring us blessing, but through us that we might be a blessing unto others. And so we have to present this evidence of God. We have to show and demonstrate to the world that Jesus Christ is real. He's not just some form of religion. He's a life changer. That's what we present to the world. Now, when they arrested Peter and John, which the text is talking about, they arrested them on two things. One, their boldness to speak against what they told them not to speak about. Their boldness. And they were not only bold about it, but they would tell anybody and everybody who would listen that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. That's number one. The second thing that they did, they were responsible for, or the agents that God used to bring about healing to a lame man. So they brought these charges, and they said unto them, and listen what the text says. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they didn't really study the scripture. These leaders, many of them were scribes, which meant they studied the law. And here it is, these untrained, uneducated, common people now proclaiming what they were supposed to be lawyers and teachers of it, now they're proclaiming this good news. And they're putting it in a way that it's transforming lives on the street. So now they feel that they are threatened not only in their position, but also holding on to the Jewish tradition, because they're talking about a Messiah. A Messiah, a Christ that they don't believe in. As a matter of fact, they so not believed in him that they were responsible for handing him over to Herod and having him judged and then condemned on the cross. Pilate condemned him to the Roman cross. Jesus was crucified, and they were the ones who were responsible for his death. And these folks are now preaching about it. As a matter of fact, they're going back to the Old Testament scripture, which that's all they had at the time, but they're going back to those scriptures and demonstrating through the word that this indeed is the Christ. But they got a second body of evidence. They got a second thing that they depend on. They now have a man who is healed by the power of God. So they've got two things that they're doing. This boldness that they have, and they've also got this person who got healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And so here it is. You go to places and you talk about having forms of ID. You go somewhere and you say, well, I want to do so and such, or I want to travel. Then most of the time they'll ask you for these two forms of identification. One for every believer. You need to have boldness. All right. You need to have boldness. Now, why do I say that? You have this boldness because you know what God has done for you. All right? Right? So you ought to have this boldness and say, well, God did this for me. God worked in my life. God provided these things for me. And I want to give credit where credit is due. So the boldness is not about, look at what God made of my life. No, the boldness is really about how God is working through you and working to produce some things in your life that you could not otherwise do on your own. Boldness. You think that's a good form of ID? Boldness. And you have that boldness because, and I thought about this, if you were working for the devil, don't you think you'd be able to tell it? Yeah, people who are devilish, people who live for the devil, they show it. They demonstrated on a daily basis, I live for the devil. I'm going to live like the devil. So they got this boldness. Why can't we have the boldness for God? Why can't we have the boldness for God? And the second thing is, why can't we show the compassion and caring for others, not just about me, be blessed. But now, as the psalmist says, when your cup runs over, now you're in a position that you're enjoying so much of God's goodness that you can share that goodness with others. Now, what it's going to do when God sees you now sharing with others what he's given you, guess what God's going to do? He's going to increase you. What we want to do is we want God to increase us so we can get more, rather than God using us so we can share more. Two things, boldness and sharing. And you can't share unless you really are concerned about the needs of other people. You got to be aware of what's going on in their life. Now, it doesn't mean that you've got to get out there and just mind other people's business, but God will send people your way. Peter and John, they were on their way to the temple to worship. And somehow or another, the Holy Spirit would not let them move past this man that was in need. And so Peter said to him, look on us. In other words, let me have your attention. And as soon as he got their attention, the man, he was expecting to receive some monetary gift, some support monetarily. And they said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, we're giving unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man got up. And the people shouted for the glory of God. Now remember, whenever you do something good, something bad is right around the corner to say, okay, you think you did something. I'm going to come and I'm going to. How many of y'all had that to happen? Yeah. All right, you do something good. You think that's the end of the story. Next thing you know, you've stirred up everything. Now all of this is coming against you and you're saying, well, you, what did it pay for me to do good? Remember, you got to pull out your ID. You got to show that you're bold for Christ and that you care about others. When you pull out your ID, now you're saying, I belong to God. Amen. I belong to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to stand up for him and be a bold witness for him. Let's pause right here and let's look at what's happening to the church. You've got a lot of people that want to be blessed. So they're saying, let me inhale. Oh, yeah, but you can't just inhale and live. You got to exhale. You got to blow it out. You can't just take it in, right? You know, when we were young, we tried to hold our breath as long as we could, and it did not work. Why do we believe that holding on to the spiritual blessings of God, inhaling blessings spiritually, is going to just keep us in perfect spiritual health? It cannot. You got to exhale. Amen. And when you do that, you have that boldness and you show that caring and you demonstrate it unto others. I'll get to some other things in just a little bit. But we have that boldness. We have this because God has given it to it. Now, Jesus said something that I think is very, very important here. That when we look at our mission, when we look at what has God called us to do and the things that the Lord would have us to do, as a matter of fact, a person came to him and asked, what are the two greatest commandments? Here's what Jesus said. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, right? Love him with everything you've got, mind, body, soul, all that you have. Love God. Everybody go, yeah, praise God, we love Jesus. We love the Lord. But then Jesus said number two. As a matter of fact, he put number two on the level of number one. As a matter of fact, Jesus said you can't do one without the other. Here's what he said. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many of y'all even know your neighbor? I can tell you, I don't know my, I couldn't tell you what the, hey, how you doing? So now already I've got something on my to-do list. I know I love God, but I've got something on my to-do list that says you got to do a better job at demonstrating your love for your neighbor. Now, let me help you out. Your neighbor is not the one who has a number close to yours on your street. Okay? Just in case you were thinking, good, I got them covered. I can check them out, Rev. We got you. Let me help you out now. Your neighbor is anybody that God sends your way, and you have the ability and the boldness to help them. You might not even know their name. Might not even see them after that time that you helped them. And Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to get into the details, but this smart person asked, well, who is my neighbor? And you remember Jesus told the parable of the good Samaritan. And that was an oxymoron. I looked the word up later. But, they were saying, well, how in the world can somebody good come from Samaria? And Jesus said, yet the Samaritan did more than the priest. More than the Levite, because they cared for the other person in need. Reaching out, having the boldness to preach for Jesus, to proclaim his word, and to share with others is the mission of the church. Anything else We're just doing religious stuff. Anything else now? It's not that these things are not needed, some of the things that we do, but if we look at why and how God is going to pour out his power through the church, these two things will be the ones that demonstrate it. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. So now let's look at something else. When they brought Peter and John to trial, okay, you all have done this work. We're gonna put you on trial here. We don't want you to do this. So they said to them, who gave you this authority? Sound familiar? That's what they asked Jesus. Who gave you this authority to do these things? All right. Peter said, since you ask, if we're being examined for this good work that we've done, and here's the ironic thing. The religious leaders did not want the lame folk hanging around at their pools and at their gate. They didn't want them there. But see, the law had said they could be there because they were in need. Watch out, I'm coming down your corner. Put the signal on. We don't want certain folk hanging around us. Because they're like a pest, you know. They're like something you want to just shoot. Give them $2 and gone. Gone away from here. Right? And yet God sends these people your way for you to help them. And not only to just do that temporary help, but what is needed to bring them back to the place where they are whole. Amen. And they are healed. Here's the thing. You're not going to do it by your own power. You're not going to do it by your own strength. You can try, you can roll up your sleeves, you can do all of these things and say, okay, yeah, we're going to do it. We can get together as a church and we say, well, okay, we're going to do all of these great things. Without God, you can do nothing. That's the mystery that you and I have to apply. Now, what did Peter say? He said, now, if we're being examined for what we've done to help this impotent man, let it be known to you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, this man is now standing here whole and healed before you. That's what he said. Amen? So now, here's the point. You and I have that same authority. Because the power is not going to be produced by us. It's going to be produced through us. Same way you breathe, God's going to give you supernatural breathing to where you can now exhale and do this work of God. Everybody still with me? All right, let me show you how it works now. Number one, going back to the text, you've got to have that boldness. You've got to have that boldness. Anytime you're fearful and you're saying to yourself, I can't do this. Paul actually had to write a letter to the Philippian church and say, you can do this. How can you do it? You can do it through Christ who gives you the strength. You can do this. Say this with me. I can do this. Amen. Now, you can't do it on your own, but when you rely on God to give you strength, you can do it. Amen. You can do it. The second thing that he talked about was when they looked at the man that was healed, right, which means two things here. Don't be afraid to associate with people who are weak. Right. No. I'm not dealing with it. I'm not getting a bad reputation because of those folk. Remember when others got a bad reputation because of you? And they had to bring you into the faith. Remember? Do you recall that? So now they were the ones that were saying, we can help. We can help. You can't do everything. Don't put more on your plate than what you can do. I'll get to that in just a second. But you really need to do what you can in order to help others. Y'all stay with me? Remember the boldness? Remember the ability to share with others who need God's strength and God's healing. So now, here we come with the evidence. The evidence of God must come from God. The evidence of God must come from God. Guess what happened in your life when you became a believer in Christ? The Holy Spirit came in. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if I go away, I will send him unto you. Who did he send? He sent the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. When you confess, Jesus, you are my Lord. Wash away my sin. Come into my heart. Jesus came into your life and indwelt you. He's still on the inside. He's still on the inside. The Bible speaks about warning us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? When we don't follow his instructions. When we don't walk in the path that he wants us to walk. But when we do, now we're presenting this evidence that God is in us because it's come from God. I want to deal with something right now that's very important. We got to know the one that we talk about, right? You got to know the one that you're talking about. They took note that they had been with Jesus. Y'all still in the house? I'm gonna wrap this thing up in a few minutes. Know the one that, don't talk about somebody that you don't know. Amen? Because otherwise you're just spreading rumors. All right? And I'm not one to go around spreading rumors. Y'all forget he all. Never mind. I don't know what made me. Okay. Otherwise you're gossiping if you don't know him. You see, the 10 lepers, they knew about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. Amen? The people that Jesus had healed and delivered them, they knew about Jesus. They knew, well, he's a waymaker. He brought me out of my darkness. But until you become a follower of Jesus, you don't really know him. You don't really know. As a matter of fact, the word discipleship is actually where the teacher walks before the students. Walks before the students, and the students try to imitate everything that the teacher does. Now, here's the point. Jesus said, whatever I see my Father do, that's what I do. Are y'all in the house? So now, if we're following Jesus, whatever we see Jesus do, that's what we're going to do. Now, don't get back. I can't do. Yes, you can. You can do it because the evidence of God is from God. But you got to know the one that you're talking about. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to wrap this up in just a minute. Second thing is, put your words into action. Don't just talk about, well, I'm a good Christian. Okay, I don't want to hear that. I want to see it. Show me how you can live this thing out if you're a good Christian. Now, where do we pause here? Where do we have this breakdown? Where do we have this failure to become that? And I put it in my notes. I said, many of the churches now, three things that have happened to them. One, some of them are program driven. Program, 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 program. Now, is there anything wrong with program? No, not really, as long as you're meeting for the right place or for the right reason, right? Don't just have a program to say you're going to have a And you know what people do? Because the members, a lot of time, all right, now they know, I'm going to go and give my $3, my $2. And so at your program, you only got a few folk that are showing up for your program. Because the program is not really about God, it's about the program. Are y'all in the house? Second thing that you have is churches that are not only program driven, some are profit driven. How much money can we raise? How much money? Now, do you need money in the church? Yes. But why can't you pay your tithe? Why are you going to jack folk up, bring them out to the program, jack them up for two more dollars? I'm just saying, amen? If it's all about God, why are we bringing all this other stuff into the mix for it, amen? You got to be concerned not about how much money you raise, but are you lifting Jesus up? Are you glorifying him? Are you honoring his name? What is your focus? What is your focus? What is your mission? And then the last type of church, the last one, some are people-driven. Everybody trying to outdo one another. Amen. All I'm on the line want to be first. Okay. You know, kind of like folks at the stoplight, you know, and they pull up, they want to be the first one to take off. After take off, where are you going? A lot of churches are falling into that. But what we need to start doing is listening to the Holy Spirit. Say, okay, what kind of action will God be directing us in, and how will he direct us to do what he wants done? There are millions of needs right around us, millions of things that we can do. And we have to pay attention to what God is saying, to pay attention to the lame people that he brings your way. Pay attention to the weak people that he brings your way. Pay attention to the sick people that he brings your way, the sinners that God will bring your way. and take time to allow God to work through you. So here's how we do it. We got three forms of ID. Number one, you got to have this courage to stand, closeness to Christ, and then the caring for others. That really sums up the three forms of ID that every Christian ought to have. How close can you get to the Lord? No more of this lame testimony where I met the Lord a long time ago. I don't want to hear that. I want to know what God's doing in your life today. How close are you to Jesus? And let me put it to you this way. Is he closer than the sin that you have in your life? Now, all of us admit we all sin, right? Amen. We do admit that, right? But is Christ closer to you than that sin? Maybe you love to talk about folk. I don't know. But whatever the issue that you're dealing with, you got to make sure that Christ is closer, that you have reported that sin to him. Lord, this is my problem. Don't just show up for church and say, you know, it's like showing up to the doctor's office. You're going to pay the man your part of the deductible, right? You're going to pay whatever fee it is to see the doctor. And then when you get in there at the doctor, you're going to say, ain't nothing wrong with me. He's done your blood work. He's got your chart. You do have something wrong with you. Your blood pressure is out. You don't go to the... So why would we come to church and pretend? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I guarantee you that if you get close to the Lord, he's going to point out something in your life that is not right. Because he's Lord and he's your Savior. The other thing is, when you get that courage to stand for Christ, when you stand for him, you have that certain boldness about it. It's not that you're trying to just put it in people's face, but their need is so great and you only know how to refer them to the one that saved you. It's like this little girl that was over in Syria, and the one that she had been taken captive, and the person that held her captive, he had leprosy. And she said, all that he knew about the prophet from Samaria. If he could just go and meet that prophet. Now, evidently that girl knew something about the prophet. I don't know what he had done or the impact, but all she could talk about, oh, if my master, and now he was a slave girl. Sold into slavery, amen, and yet she talked about the prophet from, if he just knew what could be done. And sure enough, Naaman sought out the prophet and was healed because of the fact that this girl dared to stand up and be bold. If she could do it, you and I can do it, amen. I know the one that set me free. I know the one that died on the cross. I know the one that speaks life to me every day. And when I often say to myself, Lord, I can't do it, God says, yes, you can, because I'm going with you. Jesus made you a promise. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'm going to be by your side. You got to stand up for it. You got to stand up for it. And then the caring for others. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He simply wants to live through you and to carry out his will. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Remember that. Live by that. And let's make sure that we're presenting the evidence of who Christ is. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand today. Amen. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I'm praying, Lord, that you would continue to live greatly through us. Help us to stay focused as a church. And Lord, as we breathe in the blessings, may we breathe out the service to others, sharing with them what you've done for us. It is no secret what God can do. Lord, what you've done for others, you'll do the same through us and in our lives. Oh, Lord, just make this verse real to us. And may we be that church that was in Acts. And may we act out our faith and do your will. We love you and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. And all the believers said, amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand. And there may be someone today that perhaps you don't know the Lord. And you would love to meet him. If you don't, we can certainly introduce you. Certainly introduce you.